Good morning. So, as has been mentioned, today we're celebrating the retirement of our mortgage for the addition. And it's been about 16 and a half years since we completed construction on this addition. And I thought it would be good to, since many of you are new to our congregation, or certainly in the last 16 and a half years have been new to our congregation, I thought it would be good to take you through the journey that brought us to this event. And for those of you who were here when we did this, I also think it's good for us to think back and reflect and remind us how that went and what God did for us during that process. So the things I want to cover are why we built it, how we built it and financed it, the congregation's faithfulness during that process, and most importantly, God's faithfulness during that process. So it's pretty easy to understand why we built it, I think, if you think about what it was like before we had this addition. So if you go through these doors right here, there's a room that's basically a coat room now. And beyond that are two doors that lead into the new addition. Although, of course, those doors weren't there, or one door that leads into the addition. That door wasn't there, and that was an exterior wall. This room right here was our secretary's office. What is now the secretary's office was the pastor's office. What is now the pastor's office had four different functions. It was a Sunday school room, it was the choir room, it was the church library, and it was a storage room. If you go on back to what is now our youth room, that room was our fellowship hall. That's where we had, with great difficulty, church dinners. Also in that room, there were accordion doors that you could close off, and that room could be separated into six separate individual rooms with these accordion doors. That's where we had our Sunday school rooms for our children and also our pioneer clubs. And those accordion doors didn't afford a whole lot of sound insulation, so you can imagine, especially on pioneer club nights, what that may have been like. Our kitchen consisted of a refrigerator, a sink, and a microwave. And at that time, we had no room for our youth group, so we were renting a space over in the old Lachlan School for the youth to meet. So back in December of 1998, our interim pastor at that time approached me and asked if I would form a building committee, which we did. Our first meeting was in January of 1999. Now, in a way of explanation, I was trying to figure out how I could take us through this process and remind myself of what all we went through. As you know, every committee and board chairman is responsible at the end of each year to fill out an annual report to put together for the church's annual report. So. Every year from the time the committee formed until we dedicated the building, I submitted a report at the end of that year. So if you will indulge me, I'm going to be reading excerpts from all of those reports with some interjected commentary as we go along. So 1999, the end of 1999, this was the report. The committee consisted of Delbert Binninger, Wayne Callis, Beth Friend, Gail Getty, Francis Nagy, Lorraine Mason, Dan Miller, Lynn Schaefer, and Dwight Stover. Wayne and Lynn were elected as chairman and secretary, respectively. The first few meetings were spent discussing the needs of the church and possible locations for addition. The most pressing needs were thought to be an additional Sunday school room and an enlarged fellowship hall with a full kitchen. Now, this was about nine years after the completion of this building. So that was fresh in our minds, and we knew as a committee that this was going to require a significant amount of money in order to put this addition on. And it's also important to note that this was only 19 months after we had our church split. So at that time, our congregation size was about half of what it was prior to that. We knew we would need to seek the Lord's guidance and help in this process, and we would need to live up to our name, Faith Church, in order to accomplish this. And Jesus said in Matthew 17:20 that if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. This felt like a mountain to us, but little did we know that we were really only seeing the foothills. So from the report, this committee consulted with a fire marshal and an architect. However, it was decided that before detailed plans could be developed, a more definitive profile of congregational needs and desires must be established. Now, as a committee, we talked about what our needs and desires were, but it became apparent in those discussions that every committee member had a different idea of what our needs and desires were. So we thought probably the best way to resolve this would be to survey the congregation and see what they thought as a whole. We created a questionnaire which was given to the congregation and completed on August 22nd. Results of the survey will aid in deciding what features will be incorporated in the addition and how funding will be obtained. So this is the questionnaire that we created, and we listed all the possible elements that we thought could be included in a building. And we asked the congregation members to rank these different elements from on a scale of 0 to 5, 0 being totally unnecessary and 5 being essential. We put those into a spreadsheet, and we came up with our top 5 goals, or our top 5 needs in here. You can see the first one was Sunday school rooms. We needed a fellowship hall, we needed a kitchen, we needed storage, and we wanted more restrooms. So with that information in mind, I sat down and I came up with a design for our building. And my original thought was we would attach it on the end over here next to the youth room. I presented that design to the committee, and it was endorsed by no one. So we decided maybe we better consult an architect. So goals for the coming year, which would be the year 2000, include hiring an architect, obtaining funding, and the Lord willing, beginning construction. A spoiler alert, we broke ground in 2006. So the year 2000. During the past year, the building committee formalized plans for the church addition. An architect was hired for consultation, and architectural drawings were produced for the congregation to consider. The architectural drawings were reviewed by a contractor who provided a rough estimate of between $450,000 and $600,000 for construction costs. To save financing costs, the building committee decided that construction should not begin until the building fund had amassed a minimum of $200,000. At the February 20th, 2000 congregation meeting, the plans were presented to the congregation. The building committee was given approval to move forward with the plans and continue to collect money towards that goal. The fifth Sunday of any month, containing 5 Sundays, was designated as Building Fund Sunday. Any undesignated offering collected on these Sundays will automatically be added to the Building Fund. Goals for the coming year include obtaining funding and, the Lord willing, beginning construction. The balance on hand in the Building Fund as of 9/30/2000 was $110,455.92. 2001. The past year's activities can best be described as waiting on funds. We continue to refine the architectural drawings and begin the process of determining how best to incorporate a handicapped elevator in the new plans. Now, this was another added expense. In an effort to begin construction as soon as possible, while minimizing the amount of debt required, we decided to initially build only the shell of the building. This will require less money up front, reduce the amount of borrowed money, and allow partial use of the building at an earlier date. The remainder of the building can be finished as funds are available. Now, that turned out to be not a workable solution, so that was abandoned. Our goal is to begin construction in the spring or summer of 2002. 2002. The committee had previously set a requirement to have a minimum of $200,000 in the building fund prior to beginning construction on the addition to the church. During the past year, we reached this amount. We continue to receive input and make adjustments to plans. Current plans are to begin construction in the summer or fall of 2003. 2003. This year, we submitted an initial set of plans to the state fire marshal. We received a reply which listed several items of concern. The most significant of these is the requirement for a sprinkler system, another big expense. We are currently reviewing the plans with our architect to address these concerns and make necessary modifications. After the plans are completed, they will be sent out for bids. The Lord has continued to be gracious in our building fund finances. The fund balance as of December 31st, 2003 is $228,856.86. Now, conspicuously absent from this year's report was any projection on when we were going to break ground. 2004. The revised plans were resubmitted and approved by the fire marshal. The decision was made to install a sprinkler system in the new addition and provide a firewall and fire doors with a two-hour fire separation between the addition and the existing structure. The reason we did that was if we hadn't done that, then we would have been required to put sprinkler system throughout the entire building. However, even doing that required us to add a 6-inch water line to be run all the way from I Street to the church. So that wasn't cheap either. In response to requests by the congregation, an elevator was also added. These plans were sent to 4 contractors for bid. We're now waiting for responses. Lord has continued to be gracious in our building fund finances. The fund balance as of December 31st, 2004 is $250,283.22. So we initially requested bids from 3 contractors. Those were Don Nemeth, Tony Durr, and Troy Nagy. Troy Nagy was a member of this church, and he's also the contractor who built the original building. In the meantime, we were introduced to another contractor by the name of Steve White. He was an ordained minister, and he ran a construction company who was currently rebuilding the church in Terrauta that had burned down. As a side note, the Terrauta congregation liked him so well, they called him as their pastor. Steve indicated that he was interested in submitting a bid for the church. He'd been doing construction for about 20 years, mostly church constructions, and he considered this his ministry, so I gave him a set of plans. When the results of the bids came in, first of all, Troy returned his plans, indicating that he was not going to submit a bid because he couldn't, there was no way that he could start construction before 2006. Don Nemeth subsequently withdrew their request to submit a bid, but he gave us a ballpark estimate of $2 million. Tony Durr submitted a bid for $1.4 million. Steve White submitted a bid for between $1 million and $1.1 million. And the building committee recognized that even $1 million was a lot more than we could afford to spend. So we talked to Steve about ways that we could possibly reduce that number. And he said that could be reduced if we were able to do some of the labor ourselves. His company had used this technique for many years, and he developed considerable expertise in being able to survey a congregation and find out what capabilities they had and how much time they thought that they could devote to the work. And also his supervisors were willing to adjust their work schedules because knowing if we had used volunteer labor, most of that work probably could only be done in the evenings after work and on the weekends. So with Steve's help, we came up with a questionnaire and that we submitted to our congregation members, listing all the different aspects of construction, and asked people to let us know which one of those items that they thought they could help with, had any expertise in, and also how many hours a week that they could devote to that. As a result of the potential sweat equity, Steve gave us a revised bid of $809,000. Well, that's lower, but... And also note that plans we were working on at that time were at where the building is now, the addition is now, but the upper level was going to be where the Sunday school rooms were, and the lower level was going to be a fellowship hall. That takes us to 2005. Through the course of this year, several frank and open discussions occurred among our congregation regarding the needs to be addressed by our building project, as you can well imagine. As discussions progressed, it became increasingly clear that the desires and needs for our building had changed somewhat since the initial design of the addition. The need for Sunday school rooms and a fellowship hall still existed and were strongly supported. Additionally, however, a significant number of members expressed the need for a multipurpose room that could be used as a recreational facility for the youth. Since the design had already been developed and approved, we faced the challenge of accommodating this need while staying within the confines of the original cost estimates. Our goal was to maintain the original design footprint to minimize additional architects' fees and construction costs. During one congregational meeting, it was suggested by Bobby Rhodes, actually, that we invert the plans and place the Sunday school rooms on the lower floor. This would allow us to raise the roof and ceiling of the fellowship hall on the upper floor sufficiently to accommodate sports such as basketball and volleyball. In consultation with our contractor and architect, we revised the plans and submitted them to the fire marshal. So, after those plans were approved, we had a congregational meeting to see if we could get approval to go ahead and proceed with these plans, keeping in mind that we're now talking about an $809,000 cost. I gave an estimate to the average of the average cost to each member to pay the mortgage based on the membership at that time. And as I recall, it worked out to about $42 per month per member for the life of the mortgage. Understandably, some members were concerned about the church taking on that much debt. After considerable discussion back and forth, Charlie Mason stood up and he said, "I'm not afraid of debt. I've been in debt all my life." After that, the congregation, through an overwhelming majority, approved a motion to proceed. Okay, from the report. Later in the year, we evaluated the possibility of using insulated concrete forms for the interior walls. This is a picture of one of them. These forms are have an inch of styrofoam on the outside for insulation, and they're hollow in the middle. And you stack these forms up pretty much like you're building a Lego set. And then once they're stacked up, you pour concrete in the middle. This construction technique reduces cost, construction time, and requirements for skilled labor. These forms were incorporated into our plans and purchased. The Lord has continued to be gracious in our building fund finances. The fund balance as of December 31st, 2005 is $274,155. 2006. Praise the Lord. After approximately 8.5 years in committee, we were able to break ground on the church addition. This was our ceremony for breaking ground. In May, we obtained all necessary permits, including Garrett County building permit, Mountain Lake Park building and zoning permits, stormwater management and sediment control, and excavation began on June 4th, 2006. Over the course of the next several months, we completed the excavation, poured footers, erected and poured walls, installed plumbing, erected interior walls, installed roof trusses, and sheeted and shingled the roof. Much of this work was completed using volunteer labor from our congregation. Now, Steve, when we started using him, he brought with him an excavator, a skid steer, and a bulldozer. We knew that we were also going to need a dump truck, so we bought one. For supervision of our day-to-day work, Steve brought in a site manager. His name was Ben Palumbo. And for those of you who are here, as you recall, Ben lived in a camper in our parking lot until November of that year. To assist with high-skill or high-risk tasks, some of the site work was contracted out to subcontractors. Subcontracted items include roof trusses, sheeting and shingling, heating, ventilation and air conditioning, sprinkler system, electrical system, and exterior brickwork. So here are some pictures of that process. The first thing we had to do was we had to clear the site off, and where there were several trees that we had to take down. We took these down, that generated a lot of logs, and the logs were primarily picked up by people who wanted to use wood for heating. In addition to that, because of that process, we ended up with a huge brush pile out here that had to be gotten rid of. And this gentleman that you see here brought a wood chipper in and chipped all that up and got it away for us. I want you to remember this guy because I'm going to mention him later on. Then we started excavating. Charlie Helbig ran the excavator and did all the entire excavation process on the whole site. As you can see, in digging this hole out here for the building, we accumulated a pretty large stockpile of dirt that ultimately had to be gotten rid of. So during this excavation process, one Sunday afternoon, we as a congregation met outside and we did a prayer walk around the site, and we would stop at different locations and pray for the work going on at the site, and primarily too to pray for safety of the workers. After the excavation was done, we began installing forms for footers to pour with concrete. Now, we did have one mishap, and that really this was the only injury that we had the entire time. That's Ben Palumbo sitting in the back of that van. And he inadvertently kneeled down on a piece of rebar that was sticking up and cut a gash in his leg, and it required stitches. And by the way, those stitches were later removed by Dr. Ken Bozinski in the back of his Suburban in the Safticker parking lot. So after the footers were all poured and our ground floor was poured, then we began stacking up these insulated construction forms, poured the lower level with concrete. And with the lower level completed on the outside, then we started doing interior walls and putting up floor trusses. And I want you to notice this lady right here is Edna Wonderly. Edna was probably about 80 years old at that point. But she wanted to be a part of this process, and as you'll see, she was ever present. After the floor trusses were all put down, then we began sheeting the deck. There's Edna on the job again. And after the deck was completed, then we started stacking up our insulated concrete forms for the upper level. As we were going along stacking these up, they had to be, we had to put rebar on the insides to strengthen them. And then after we got up so high, these insulated concrete forms required a huge amount of bracing because they're very light and they have to be braced well before you pour the concrete in them so that they don't fall over or blow out. So all these braces were built here on site by our congregation. We had a brace building party. Here's Edna again, learning how to use a screw gun for the first time. After the braces were installed, then we can continue going up with the forms. And once all the forms were up, the concrete forms were up, then we got a pumper truck and came in and we filled all that with concrete. And this is Ben and I. I think we were trying to figure out what we were going to do with that extra 2 yards of concrete we had left over. And that takes us to 2007. Well, actually, in the 2006 report at the end, was. The original completion date was scheduled for the end of December 2006. However, due to the inability of some of the subcontractors to complete their work as scheduled, the completion was delayed. The revised completion date is scheduled for the end of April 2007. And we didn't make that either. But. The Lord has been extremely gracious to us this past year. The congregation has volunteered countless hours to the building construction with no serious injuries to any of the workers. We have received unexpected gifts of labor, materials, and money. And the building finances continue to be stable. So from the 2007 report, at the beginning of 2007, work on the church addition focused on the interior with emphasis on plumbing, electrical, heating and air conditioning, and the sprinkler system. Plumbing was installed using church labor under the supervision of Joe Schaefer. The electrical, HVAC, and sprinkler systems were installed by subcontractors. Church labor was also used in many other areas, including framing the entryway, installation of the ash ceiling in the fellowship hall, installation of cabinets and appliances in the kitchen, pulling electrical wire, ceiling tile installation, exterior landscaping, seating and planting, exterior drainage, waterline and electrical conduit installation, window and shutter installation, painting, cleaning, and decorating. In the spring, when the weather improved, Charlie Helbig spearheaded the completion of exterior excavation and upgrading of the stormwater management system. This system was subsequently approved by the county, and our $9,000 bond held by the county was refunded. So these are some pictures of the construction. You can see Edna, having mastered the use of a screw gun, was used here to screw down the subfloor in the fellowship hall. This was part of our plumbing crew. We insulated all the interior walls downstairs to help provide sound insulation between the Sunday school rooms. Here they're prepping the floor for before installation of carpet. Working on the ceiling in the fellowship hall. Putting up light fixtures in the fellowship hall. This is Ken Bozinski putting down tile in our entryway. And here we are installing the fluted columns that go around the supports that we have under our portico there. Early in the year, a decorating committee was formed with the purposes of overseeing all aspects of the project. There it is. This is some of our decorating committee. The committee, co-chaired by Susan Savopoulos and Gail Getty, was responsible for, among other things, decisions on paint schemes, floor coverings, moldings and trim, and kitchen appliances. Other members included Donna Callis, Bobby Rhodes, Lynn Burney, Leslie Warnick, Lorraine Mason, and Susan Kellum. They're to be commended for their untold hours invested in making our addition a truly elegant and functional space. So as we approach the end, as you know, there's always a lot of little details to be done. Donna, being our consummate list maker, created a punch list for our painting crew. And there was a lot of painting to do. Then we had some plumbing fixtures to install, a lot of molding and trim to be cut and put up, ceiling tile to be installed, exterior concrete work to finish. This is Susan putting together our chandelier for the entryway. Claude Wagner installing the shelves in the library. This is my son Patrick and I putting up the music cubbies in the choir room. John Diller installing the kitchen cabinets. And Charlie Mason, using a grade awl that he borrowed from his employer, is doing the final landscaping on the outside. I'm sorry, Charlie Helbig, thank you. Then we had to install our sediment pond out here. And after that, there was a lot of grass seed to be planted. And this shows Dr. Savopoulos sporting the latest fashion in hygienic footwear. There's Freddie doing what Freddie does. Okay. Throughout the year, as is typical in a project of this magnitude, we saw several estimated completion dates come and go. However, by midsummer, we were able to begin obtaining final inspections. On August 23rd, we received our last inspection by the fire marshal. A certificate of occupancy was issued the following day, approximately 14 and a half months after breaking ground, and a dedication service was held in the new fellowship hall on August 26, 2007. Our final act as a committee occurred in November when we sold the dump truck. At the November administrative board meeting, the building committee was disbanded. The Lord has again been extremely gracious to us. During this process, we had no seriously contentious issues with contractors or inspectors and no serious injuries. God kept us united as a body and formed lasting bonds among our members and co-workers, both inside and outside the congregation. For me personally, it has been an honor, a privilege, and a blessing to have led this committee and this project. So, I'd like to talk a little bit about the times that we saw God's faithfulness in evidence. And these are only, this is a partial list. These are things that some people may call coincidences, but I call God things. First of all, before we started construction, we had to have an approved stormwater management plan, and that management plan had to be done by an engineering firm. We had been told that typical costs for these were between $10,000 and $15,000. We hired Century Engineering in Oakland, and they charged us $3,000 for it. Second, as you saw, we had purchased a dump truck. We had talked before that about, we knew we were going to need a dump truck, and we asked the congregation if anybody had a dump truck we could use, and there were none available for us within the congregation. And we weren't sure what we were going to do. We talked about renting one, but we knew we were going to need it for at least 9 months, and that was going to be an expensive proposition. Steve White, who lived in Pennsylvania at the time, was driving back here from his house. He drove through this town and passed a used car lot, and sitting on the used car lot was this dump truck. So he came back here and he told us about it. As I recall, it was about $9,000, I think. And Charlie Helbig and I drove up there. Charlie looked it over, said it was good, so we bought it. And then we ended up selling the dump truck at the end, and I think that our total loss in that was somewhere around $3,000, but that was significantly less than had we tried to rent one for 9 months. We were getting ready, we put the portico up here, up using temporary braces underneath, and then we had delivered these posts, steel posts, that were going to be the real supports for those. And when they got delivered, they were about 12 feet long and about 6 inches in diameter, and they were really heavy. Ben Palumbo and I were out one afternoon looking at these things, trying to figure out how we were going to be able to pick them up and get them moved into position. And, you know, we discussed doing a block and tackle or some kind of a winch system, or could we use the skid steer to lift them up? And none of that sounded really feasible. And while we were discussing that, Jeff Bowman, who was a member of our congregation, and a co-worker of his, Randy Sisler, happened to show up to see how things were going. And Jeff was an iron worker. I knew that, so I thought maybe he might have some experience in doing this kind of stuff. And so I explained the problem to him. He walked over to the posts and looked at them. Randy came over with him. They each got on one end of one of those posts, so they picked it up, and they carried it over and stood it up. And in about 15 minutes, all four posts were installed. another issue, I mentioned the stockpile of dirt that we had out there, and it was huge. I have no idea how many dump truck loads would have been in that pile, but if you ask Charlie Harvey, who I guess is not here today, he might be able to tell you, because at that time, coincidentally, the county roads was doing a project down at the lake, I think in the Theraville area, and they needed a huge amount of fill dirt. So the county drove I don't know how many dump trucks up here, and they hauled away almost all of our dirt to be used for that. Now we got time to shingle the roof. We had several people in the congregation who've done shingling before. But the more we looked at it, that roof out there is very steep, and it's dangerous to be on. And we decided that it'd probably be better off if we just hired someone to do that. So we talked around the community to different contractors, and we couldn't find anybody who had the time to come in and do that. Again, Ben and I were outside discussing something one day, and this young man showed up who was from Grantsville. And he said, "I understand you're looking for somebody to shingle your roof." He said, "Yes, we are." And he said, "I'm your salvation." Ben Palumbo said, "No, you're not my salvation. Christ is my salvation. But if you're a roofer, we'll talk to you." So we ended up hiring him. He did the roofing job, and when he gave us the bill, he gave us a $500 discount because we were a church. I mentioned the brush pile out here that we had to get rid of and showed you a picture of this, of the guy who did it. So I just happened to mention as an announcement in one Sunday that we needed someone, if anybody could do it or knew of someone who could do it, to chip up that brush pile and get rid of it. There was a gentleman, a young man with his family, sitting in the front row of the pew. He was not an attender normally of this church. He did have children that went to pioneer clubs. But he raised his hand and he said, "I'm a tree trimmer." He only lived like a block away from the church here. And he said, "I can do that for you." And he came the next week and he did. We've never seen him again. Pardon? Yeah. Well, the point being, he was here when we needed him. Now, these last two things that I want to mention are things that I never thought about or saw as we were doing this process. And it was only in preparation for this presentation that this came to light in my mind. God built this congregation. And at that time, and I think now, every one of you are here because God has led you here. And he led people here that had certain skills. And the skills that they had enabled us to do what we did. Many of those people have since moved away, and some have died. But they were here when we needed them. And I don't think that was an accident. And the last one is, God knew what the final design and needs of this building were, even though we didn't. And he knew what the cost was going to be. And I believe that, you know, it took us over 6 years from the time we thought we were going to be in construction till we actually did break ground. And I believe that we were delayed in that time until we as a congregation finally came around to what God's vision of this building and our ministry was. And in that delay process, we accumulated an additional $75,000 in our building fund that meant we didn't have to borrow so much money. So what do we learn from this? First of all, God is in control, not us. Waiting on the Lord is important. And we have to be flexible and patient. See lesson number one. And to give you an example of that, there were many times, I was working from home when we were doing all of this, and there were many times where I would get calls from Steve White during the day saying something had gone wrong, or a contractor wasn't able to show up, or materials weren't available, or this didn't get done, or this got done incorrectly, and I needed to come over. So I'd jump in the car and run over here in that 1 mile distance from my house to here. I was building up to vent, I would drive on the site, and when I would walk into the building, there was Steve and our construction crew huddled in prayer. That's difficult to vent on somebody when they're huddled in prayer. And finally, if God is behind it, it will happen. So what did we gain from this? First, we gained new and strengthened relationships. There were several people in the congregation who I knew by name but didn't know them well. But we worked together, and I know other people worked together. And in doing that, they built bonds between these different people and different families. And also, not just in our congregation, but outside of our congregation. We enhanced the Sunday School and Pioneer Clubs by having this building to use. We improved our fellowship opportunities. Now we could have a proper dinner out here instead of being crammed in that little room. We were a resource to virtually all of our church ministries. We were a resource for our supportive ministries such as the James Isaac House. And we're a resource for individual church members who can now use the building. But most of all, we gained a demonstration of God's faithfulness. Psalm 127:1 says, "Unless the Lord builds this house, the builders labor in vain." I believe that the Lord did build this house, and my prayer is that he will continue to use it for his glory. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your grace. We thank you for your patience and guidance in bringing us to this vision of our building, our ministries, and our congregation. We thank you for prospering our congregation so that we could complete and pay for the building. And I pray now that it will be used for your glory alone. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.